Okay, so we're going to be doing Ben and Bad in Maseches Avodah Zarah today. Just a key point that a lot of the conversation, the Agadah that we're going to be doing, it's a big Amud. It's all going to be focusing on jumping off of a Pasuk in Yeshaya, Berakit Mem Gimel, Pasuk Tet. It says, Kol HaGoyim Nikbetzu Yachdav, all the nations of the world will gather together, Yesvu Lumim. And the sort of, as we saw in the Gemara yesterday, that Lumim is understood by the Gemara to mean the different kingships and the leaders will gather together. Who can really testify or be true about this? Vishanos Yashmiunu will listen to the firsts. Yitnue Dehem will give their testimony. Vitztaku will then be vindicated. Yishmu Vyomro MS. And they will hear and they will say that is true. As we saw yesterday, the understanding of this pasuk was some sort of conversation, some sort of procedure is going to go down, latid lavo, between God, the Jewish people, and the nations of the world. So as we said before, so what we left off, that basically Yasul Umim, all this huge Yerbuvia, this mass of people comes forward of all the nations of the world, and now they're going to make their best pitch to God of why they deserve reward. So we're five lines down on Bet Umabet. In the middle of the line it says, Miyad nichasa lefanav malchus romi tchila. So first nation to go up to present their case to God is the Roman Empire. So my time, the Gemara says, stop right there. Why is it that Rome is going first? So the Gemara says, Mishum Nechashiva, because they are important. So Minel and Nechashiva, okay, but how do I know that they're important? Diktiv, it says in the Pasuk in Daniel, V'tochal kol ara v'tidushana v'tidukena, that they consumed, again, this is the from the prophecy of Daniel, where he sees these four empires. So this fourth empire will come, they'll consume the entire land, they'll tread upon it, they'll crush it, really again symbolizing the dominion and the power of the Roman Empire. So from there we see that they're chashuv, that they're very, very important. So now says the Gemara, Amar ve'amar Rabbi Yochanan stated, Zuromi chayavet. So chayavet, you think it sounds like they're obligated? What does that mean they're obligated? So Rashi over here, and again as I pointed out yesterday, sometimes the Rashis are, you have to look at the glosses on the side, the Hagos Tzionim. So Rashi says, no, what the word chayavet means, it actually is Aramaic for evil. It actually says over here in the Os Hey, says Zem Malchus Romi Chayeves Harisha, the evil, wicked empire, Taguma Sharisha Chayeves. You look at the pasuk in Malachi, at the way that's translated into Aramaic, the word Risha with the wicked, the evil is Chayeves. So says Rav Yochanan, this pasuk in Daniel is a reference to the wicked Roman Empire. Shetiva, here again Rashi tells us, means their renown, Yatzapakol Olam, right? Really, they took over the entire known world, and really they spread forth the entire empire. Fine, so now we established so far that the Romans are coming first. Why are they coming first? Because they're important. So now the Gemara says, well, wait, how do you know that those who are important, or the most important, should be the first to present their case? So Gemara says, how do I know that these the most important people come first? Rav Chisda, the Amar of Chisda, so Rav Chisda teaches us, Melech v'tzibor, Melech nichlas tchil l'din, that if you have a case involving a king and the nation, that the king actually gets judged first. Shneamar, as the pasuk says regarding Shlomo HaMelech, la'asos mishpat abdo, u'mishpat amo Yisrael. The God adjudicates the cases of the mishpat, the justice of his servant, in this case referring to Shlomo HaMelech, u'mishpat amo Yisrael. So we see from there that Shlomo, the king, is being judged before the rest of the Jewish people. The question is why? Why is it that the king is being judged first? The Gemara gives two reasons. The time am I. So what's the reason why? You might say, it's not mechubad, it's not giving proper respect and honor and kavod to the king, that the rest of the people go in, and here the king is on the outside waiting, playing with his fingers and not really having anything to do. So that would be, that's reflected, it's a poor reflection on the king. The other answer is, it's not about the respect that should be given to the king, but rather what the king does for the Jewish people. And the king will go in first and will therefore be able to lessen, to cool off, in the word lifosh, to cool off the anger that the God might have of the Jewish people. So is it about the king himself and the kavod, the honor that should be shown towards him, or is it about what the king does for the rest of the people as the ambassador for the Jewish people? So now we've established who's coming first. It's the Romans. Why? Because they're chashuv. And how do we know that those who are chashuv come first in the case of divine justice? So now God is going to give them an interrogation. God says, "B'maya sakdim." So what have you done? And Tosas says, "What have they done?" There's many, many things they've done. So Tosas explains what's being asked is, "What have you done that sort of given you support and like sort of zechut throughout every single generation. Listen, the second Tosos on the Daf, Amrlana Kadosh Baruch Hu, them. So the question is not just what you've done, you know, give me a whole list of millions of things, but what are the main things that you've accomplished that really are your major contributions to the world? So say the Brahmin Empire, Omrim Lefana, they say to God, Rabbona Shola, master the world, Habe Shvakim Tak Tikninu. We have many shuks, many marketplaces. Harbi Merchitza Asasinu, we made many bathhouses. Harbi Kesav Azav Herbinu. And we actually amassed lots of gold and silver. The kulam lo asinu el b'shvil Yisrael. Kedeshi et asku b'torah. Why did we do all this? Why did we become this major superpower, this economic powerhouse, really developing all these things in the entire world? It wasn't just for our own benefit, so we could have commerce and wealth. Rather, it was in order to facilitate the Jewish people to live in Torah. Rashi explains over here that in order that the Jewish people have all these things accessible, so they have a marketplace, they have a, you know, they have a Whole Foods or a Giant they can go to. They have places where so they have a money, they have a monetary system that they could participate in. And if they want to cool off and enjoy themselves, they have the bathhouses. But even though we benefit, the true benefit was to enable to facilitate the Jewish people to learn Torah. So God says, really? Amram HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shodub Sholam, you fools! Kol Masha Asitam L'Tzorach Atzachem Asitam. You did all this not for the Jewish people, but rather for yourselves. Takanam Shvakim Loshi Ben Zono. You made the marketplaces, why? To install prostitutes there. Now, that's a bit, it's a bit intense saying that the entire purpose was to enable there to be prostitution in the marketplace of the Roman Empire. So Tosa says that the example, what they're giving here is that God's sort of highlighting that, yeah, you did everything but what you said you did. Meaning, even this absurd example of having a marketplace just so you could have a house of prostitution there is the like most extreme degree you go to highlight the fact that, yeah, you never had in mind the Jewish people. The reason why you made the bathhouses wasn't for the hygiene of the Jewish people, but rather was for yourselves. And the kesef is of, oh, you think it's so amazing you amassed all this gold and silver? Shali, who they belong to be. Shnamar, as the Pasuk says, and Chagai, Gli HaKesef, Vli HaZahav, and Neum HaShem Tzvakot. Meaning all, so therefore all your accomplishments are null and void. And then as I mentioned at the outset, all of this is going to be connected to a Pasuk Yishayahu. So the Pasuk Yishayahu continues and says, Klum Yesh Bechem Magidzos, you're lacking the ability to Magidzos, to testify, to say this about yourself. Shneamar, again, quotes the Pasuk in Yishayahu, Mi Bechem Yagidzos, who can really say about this to themselves? What is Zos? V'in Zos, Ela Torah, as we said today. Shneamar, V'zos HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe, Mia, so that, that here the Zos refers to Torah. So give a little, you know, a nice classic example of rabbinic application here, taking, you know, words here, words there, putting it all together. And so basically the thing is that you claim, I guess we saw the outside, Bet Omer Aleph, that the whole goal is that, oh, God says whoever was Osek in Torah, come, claim your reward. And they claim to have done all that. They can say, well, we didn't study Torah, but what we were doing was to support the Jewish people. And God says, you're full of it, you're a bunch of liars. And so therefore, says the Gemara, Miyad Yatsuba Pachei Nevesh. They leave their appointment with God very disappointed. So now after the Romans, who would come up next? Yatsa Malchus Romi V'nichnas Malchus Paras Achareha. Come along the Persian Empire. My time. Okay, so says the Gemara, why? Why is it that Rome comes first and Persia comes second? The Ha Chashiva Batra. Because they're, in terms of the totem pole of power and importance, Rome is first, but the Persians are second. So Gemara says, Uminalan, how do I know that? Diksiv, Varuch yu achare tanina dam yaledov. So again, referencing back this prophecy from Daniel, Varuch yu achare tanina, that as Rashi tells us, and behold, after the appearance of the serpent was something that appeared to be like a bear, it says the Gemara, Tani Rav Yosef taught, who's a bear? Elo Parsiim. These are the Persians. Sha'ochlim v'shosim kadov. They eat and drink like bears. Mustubalim b'basar kadov. They're very fat like bears. V'gadlin se'ar kadov. They're very hairy like bears. V'ein lehem menucha kadov. And they don't have rest like bears. I don't know if any of this is true. I'm not sure what to think about this. Are you Persian? But you're Jewish, though. He's not. This reference to the non-Jewish Persians, to the Yazidis and the rest of those minorities who are unfortunately being destroyed by ISIS right now. So now, same line of questioning. Amr lehem haKadosh Baruch Hu, but Maya sacked them. So what were you doing again? Not just give me a whole list of all your accomplishments. What were your major contributions to the world? Om lefanu Ribono Shel Olam, we say to God, Harbe Gesharim Gesharnu. Harbe krochim kavashtu. Harbe milcham asasino. We made a lot of bridges. We made a lot of cities. We did a lot of wars. Why do we do all this? Why do we? What was the point of our whole civilization? V'kulam lo asinu el b'shvil yisrael kedei sheyitasku b'torah. We did all of this not for our own gain, not because we're self-interested and egotistic people, but rather it was really for the others, for the Jewish people, so they could facilitate their learning of Torah. So again, same answer. You think you did this for the Jewish people? You were so giving, so kind. You did it for yourselves. You're selfish. Why did you do these things? You create this whole entire bridge system in order to collect taxes. You made these cities. You captured these cities and made cities in order to have forced labor to support all your projects. And Milchamos, oh, you think you're this great warrior nation? Ani Asisi, I am the one, I am the source of all war. Shenemar, as we see in the Pasuk in Shmos, Hashem Ish, there you go, Hashem Ish Milchama. And again, as we said, the same answer we said to the Romans, Klum Yish Bechem Magidzos, Shenemar, as it says, Mi Bechem Magidzos, you're lacking Zos, and what again is Zos? Vein Zos, Ela Torah, Zos versus Torah, you guys are lacking Torah again, that you, your accomplishments weren't to facilitate Torah, they were to facilitate your own accomplishments, your own selfish interests. Shneamar, Zos HaTorah, Shir Sam Moshe, this is the Torah that Moshe placed. Miyad, Yatsum Lefenab, Pachin Nefesh. Again, just like the Roman counterparts, the Persian representatives leave this this meeting with God, disappointed, with their heads hanging low. So now the Gemara says, well, wait a second, what were they thinking? After they saw how completely ineffective the arguments of the Romans were, why would the Persians risk anything? Why is it that after they saw all the arguments of the Romans be ineffective, why did the Persians think they stood a chance? So Amri, so what did they say to themselves? In who sasri beis hamikdash, right? The Romans, they destroyed the beis hamikdash. Va'anan baninan. And we built it. Now the question becomes is, well, why didn't they say that to God? God's like, oh, what did you do? They're like, we built the base of Mikdash. We facilitated that. That'd be a much clearer indication of how they were able to facilitate Torah learning and stuff and Judaism than saying, oh, we built, you know, bridges and stuff like that. So Tosfos addresses that. I wasn't sure. So his answer just is that it was a temporary measure. Tosfos here in the Divrei HaMaskil of Anan Baninan, he says, V'hadalo ka'amri shabana base of Mikdash, k'shal mehen b'ma asakdem. Why they didn't say, oh yeah, by the way, God, we built your temple to facilitate your worship. So why didn't they say that? Fizelo asu elo osahador. That was only good for the time of Cyrus and not for the rest of the generations to really legitimate the entire civilization. As Tosafot said at the outset, that what God was asking is not just what one generation or what one person did, but rather it's saying, try to sum up the entirety to justify your entire civilization. So they thought, well, at least like we're in better standing because those, you know, awful Romans, they destroyed it and we at least facilitated the building of it. So then the Gemara says, well, wait a second. So now this continues. So now this proceeds. All we have is the dialogue between God and the Romans and the Persians. But this goes on for all the nations of the world. As at the outset, it's all the nations coming together at the end of days. So then Gemara says, wait a second. So okay, so if it didn't work for the Romans and for the Persians, so why are these other guys going and trying to try their hand at convincing God that they were actually facilitating Judaism? So the Gemara says, meaning those other nations, including in this would be Babel and Yavan, right? The Babylonians and the Greeks, they at least, they enslaved the Jewish people. They made their lives actively worse. However, us, we didn't do that. So they find the Gemara then says, wait, Maishna hani de chashivi, umayishna hani de lo chashivi ilhu. So now what the Gemara seems like, according to most Mefarshim, what the Gemara is asking is, in Daniel's prophecy, there's four major empires, as we identify them as being Babel, Yavan, Paras, and Rome. So why is it only these two, meaning Persians and Romans, are getting focused on and not the other two? So the Gemara then says, and again, I can't give any, I'm curious what anyone else thinks about this. The answer is, because these other nations, I mean, these nations, i.e. Rome and Persia, will be in dominion until the coming of Mashiach. So, I mean, if you want to say that Rome equals Christianity, the Vatican has like some power, but doesn't necessarily have the power, you know, once had. And if you want to say, well, no, really, it's the Western civilization. Okay, but what about Paras? What does Paras represent? So, again, it could just be that this is, you know, rabbinic speculation, like you see at the end of Sanhedrin, where everyone's trying to figure out what's the Mashiach going to look like, and it's not necessarily indicative of anything. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe perhaps is Iran, and the whole is going to be some sort of clash of civilizations between Iran and America. I don't know. But it could just be that just conjecture by the rabbis. Okay, so now the last couple lines over here. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So their first arguments didn't work. So what are they going to try now? I'm going to fund Rabbanu Sholem. They say before God, Kluma tatlano v'loki blunu. Meaning, you never gave us the mitzvahs, you never gave us the Torah, so how can you expect that we're going to fulfill it? Because again, the whole point was, at the beginning, God says, he holds the Sefer Torah in his arms, and he says, whoever was osik in this will get their schar. So they say, well, we never received the Torah, so how could you expect us to do anything else? So Moses says, wait a second, is that really true? How could you say the Baksiv? It says in the Torah, it's the whole description at the end of, I think it's Vezosa Torah, Vezosa Bracha, that God says, I came from Sinai, and I sort of shone in Seir, Seir reference to Esav, to those countries, and Elokam Teiman Yavo, God will come from Teiman, it's a reference to the Islamic, the Arabic countries. So Ma'abai is Seir, Ma'abai Paran. Why does the Torah have to emphasize and specify these two places of Seir and Paran? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Malami Shechzira Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Umma V'Lashon V'Lo Kibluha. The God went around to every nation and said, here, do you want to accept the Torah? And each one did not accept it. Atshaba Itzal Yisrael V'Kibluha. Until it came to the Jewish people, and they said, you know what, we're going to say it, we're going to accept it, Nasa V'Nishma. So therefore, what was their argument then? If they had been offered the Torah. El Hachi Amri, this is what they said, Klum Kibluha V'Lo Kaimuna. Okay, but at least, we didn't accept it, but we didn't fulfill it. I mean, we did not violate your terms, we just didn't accept it. So Gemara's like, that doesn't make any sense. Valtad, Tavratun, Amayla Kabotua. Meaning, the whole point is that the fact that you didn't accept it will be a further indication of why you don't get the reward, because you didn't accept it. So the fact that you're saying you shouldn't expect to be rewarded for the fact that you didn't accept it. So that's not the argument. Elakach Omrim, he said, Lefanav, Ribono Sholam, Klum Kafit Alin Harkigigis, Velo Kiblu Kimo Shasit Yisrael. Meaning, we didn't have the same deal that was made to us like you did with the Jewish people. The Jewish people, you took them out of Sinai, you hung it over their heads, and we didn't have the type of pressure involved in there. See if it says in the Pasuk, Yitiatzvu, B'tachidahar, they stood literally underneath the mountain. Vam Revdimi Barchama, Revdimi Barchama, again, this is relevant, Purim coming up in a few weeks. Balameh Shekifa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKagikis, HaYisrael. We were taught from this that God lifted up the mountain and placed it above the heads of the Jewish people. Varam lahed, God said to them, Imatem b'kabim es haTorah mutav. If you accept the Torah, great. V'im lav, sham tei kvaraschem. There will be your burial. Now the question is, evidently it doesn't bother anyone, why does the Gemara use the term sham? You would have thought that the proper, you know, conjugation would be, V'im lav, either po or hacha, tei kvaraschem. Meaning, why it's over there? If you accept the Torah, good. If you don't, there, somewhere down there, will be your burial place.
God is eternally so transcendent and far away.
Is that how you feel in life?
No, I mean it's part of it.
So I mean,
at that moment, God is very transcendent, we could say.
Right, with Sham. But still, it seems like he's pointing some sort of like directionality, not referencing his own transcendence. So I heard once the suggestion that the whole thing is that, yeah, if you don't accept the Torah, it's okay. You can survive. You can have a society that can flourish for a while. But Sham, Yekurasna, meaning at some point down in the future, that's where things are going to be problematic if you don't accept the Torah. Just one, which I thought, just one insight into why the Torah Gemara uses the word Sham. Okay, we're about to finish. So Amar Lam Kadosh Baruch Hu, so God says, okay, Harishonish Yashmiyuno. But maybe the Torah, you didn't have the opportunity to accept and to observe. But guess what? What did you have? The Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Shenamar Rishono, going back to our pasuk Yishaya, Rishono Yashmienu. We'll hear from the first. What are the first in this case? Seven mitzvos kibaltem, hechin kiamtem. You did. We all know you accepted the seven mitzvos, and yet where is their observance today? We know the lo kaimum. How do we know that they're no longer fulfilling these seven mitzvot? Datani, Rav Yosef taught. It says Amad v'yumodid eretz. God stood up and shook the earth. Ra'ah, he saw v'yeter goyim. The goyim trembled. So what did God see? My ra'ah. That God saw that the seven mitzvot that they had accepted upon themselves and therefore should be responsible for, they no longer were fulfilling them. And therefore the Gemara ends, this will end with our Amud for today with this. God saw that they're not fulfilling them, they're not responsible for them anymore, then I'm going to make them no longer obligated in them. And so with that, we'll stop Bet and tomorrow we'll continue with this more of the Sagadata. Everyone have a great day.